Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I've got Great Love Debate's Brian Howie back in the studio to pick up where we left off on the subjects of sex and dating. And we're also announcing some very exciting news. We'll also be taking a call from the hilarious podcaster Paul Mercurio and getting into a couple of your most pressing dating questions. Thanks for listening. But first, by now, you've probably bailed on your New Year's resolutions to work out more, I mean. How many of you made a New Year's resolution to work out more? It feels great to be in shape, plus it boosts your confidence and your libido. But are you ignoring the one muscle group that can have the biggest impact on your sexual performance? Don't worry, because now there's a product that will do the workout for you. The Intensity is a unique insertable device that strengthens your pelvic floor with gentle electrostimulation, delivering an extremely effective and automatic Kegel exercise. The shaft inflates to perfectly position its conductive pads where they will directly stimulate your pelvic floor muscles. Not only does this muscle group give you more control over your pleasure during intercourse, it's also responsible for preventing urinary incontinence, which is what the Intensity was originally designed to cure. Oh, and the Intensity just happens to have a vibrate option too, because hey, why not have an awesome orgasm while you're working out? I'm telling you, this product has changed my sex life. I've increased strength, control, and seriously, the best orgasms I've ever had. Plus, now I don't have to worry about accidentally peeing while I'm doing yoga. To order your own Intensity, go to sexwithemily.com and click on the Intensity banner.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
Sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com, where you can check out all of our podcasts, subscribe to our podcasts, hang out, read our blogs, videos. It's a good friggin' time. Right, Menace? Hi, Menace.
Hey, what's going on? How you been?
I've been doing really well.
I haven't really got to talk to you the past couple of podcasts. We've had guests, and I mean, we have a guest today, which
he's a
great guest that we've talked to before.
Exactly.
But I want to dive in and see what the hell's been going on in your life.
Okay. What do you want to know?
What's the latest? I saw you at, I think, last time I saw you in person, it was at the Grammy pre-interviews.
Yeah, that was really fun.
And you did the roundtables, and you talked to all the different radio DJs.
Yep.
How was that?
That was fun. I loved sitting with your team.
Yeah.
They were great with the Woody Show.
The Woody Show?
I love them. Yeah. And they were like, you should come in. And I'm like, well, Menace says I'm not allowed to come in. And then I thought, well, you're like, no, we don't have a guest. Like, why don't you come in? And then I'm like, Menace doesn't want me. He doesn't want to mix his two families.
He's
like,
no,
I'm, they're your
it's
other
not that
relationship.
At all. It's not that at all.
Okay. But that
well,
was fun.
Well, it's something that we should talk about offline. Which I've told you a billion times, but you never listen to me, ever.
I do. What'd you say?
I tell you why you shouldn't come in
show. No, but we already cleared it and no one cared.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's very Hollywood.
No,
it's okay.
I don't care. It's fine.
We'll see how that goes.
Who cares? But it's going to be fun. That was fun. And then I went to like 40 seats. I went out with Dr. Drew. He was like, come with me. So it was fun because we like tag teamed everyone.
Yeah,
and, like,
that's great.
About, like,
love talking to Dr. Drew. How's the love line thing been going?
It's amazing. I'm actually doing it twice a week now.
Oh, what?
Tuesdays and Thursdays. I am co-hosting Loveline. And so if you guys are interested, it is on 40 stations in the country. However, it's also a podcast, so you can listen to Loveline as well.
That's great.
I know. It's really fun. They kind of bump that up.
Super exciting.
So we're doing that. Yeah. And then I went to the Grammys, which is fun, which I've never been to an award show.
Yeah. You went with another woman.
Susan Pinsky.
So have you switched sides or what? What's going on?
No,
who
Drew's
are you dating?
Wife, Drew's wife.
Oh, okay.
No. Who am I dating?
Yeah.
I'm not. I've been on a few dates.
Yeah.
And I went out with this guy recently, though, and it was interesting. We went to it was a nice dinner. And Brian, you're welcome.
Don't worry. You don't have to be there silent.
I didn't want to interrupt your date story.
No, but I went on a date. It was actually a few weeks ago, and we met. I'm just saying yes. You know how I am.
How did you get set up on this date?
I met him through my friend Anna. We were at a dinner.
Good friends. That's good.
Good friend. Yeah. We were at a dinner at Soho House, and she said...
Did she date him before?
No, but she's like, I don't think you want to date him. God, I have to be careful what I say. Fuck, I always think this is it.
Why?
Is he listening? Yeah.
Who cares?
Oh. But he was really smart. Uh-huh. Very, very smart. I love smart. Very smart. And he was like, let's go out. And so we went to dinner, and we went to a nice restaurant. And the thing is... I've lived here for a few years, but I don't know my neighborhood very well, which is great. Restaurants, he's like, you don't know this, you don't know that. Let's go to dinner. So we went to dinner. What?
No, go ahead.
And it was fun. And we had a good time and we talked. He's very smart. And I didn't really feel like there was...
Where'd you go to dinner?
Is it called Revolution?
Okay.
On La Brea?
Yeah.
Right?
Not
it's like
bad.
Nice. No,
yeah.
Really nice. Really, it was fun. It was
it's a good date spot.
Great dinner. Yeah, we met there. Which we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. We talked about everyone Ubers to your date now, so there's no the awkward kissing on the way home if you don't want to. And we got really intense. We talked about a lot of things like sex and date. He's a very interesting life. We talked about his relationships, and the waitress was really, really friendly. She kept coming over and she was like, hi, can I help you? What do you guys want? And she let me taste all these wines. It was a really fun night. And I liked him enough, but at the end of the night, the waitress comes over and she gives me our bill and she's like, hey, are you Emily? And I said, yeah. She goes, I just want you to know I listened to your podcast and I really
like
it.
Wow, that's great.
It was great. However, I'm like, shit, what the hell did I talk about? You know what I mean? Because I forget that this happens to me. Like my Uber driver the other day, I was in Uber for 30 minutes driving to Loveline because I didn't in my car.
And they can overhear you.
The whole time I'm talking to my VP about everything going on in the office. I'm hiring an assistant. And I get off. He's like, hey, I love your show, and I'd love to be your assistant. And then he keeps emailing me. So it's like, you got to be careful with, because I don't think about that. Yeah. But anyway, the waitress was interesting because she's like, I've been listening for years. And then afterwards, she pulls me. She was like, what do you think? Like, I didn't think he was your type. It didn't seem like, she was like giving me her.
Even the waitress was chiming in.
The waitress. So now I'm like, who's, because I don't think that people like know me, they're paying attention or they're listening. Uh-huh. But anyway.
People know.
But it was, I liked him enough. And I think it's just good to get out and date and say yes. You know how I am. But then he asked me again. And the fact that I didn't answer for a few days leads me to believe that.
Well, what happened at the end of the first date?
Okay. I did kiss him.
Of course.
He drove me home. So I Ubered there, but then he had his car because it was raining, really raining. And I kissed him because...
In the car. Okay.
And it was an awkward... It was kind of an awkward kiss. But like, I feel that that's a pass because typically... I don't think that the first kiss is always amazing.
It can be awkward. Mm-hmm. People are nervous.
No, but they're so... Yeah, people are nervous. And then he was like, we should definitely do this again. We should hang out. I'm like, we will, you know. But I just kissed him because whatever. But I haven't thought about him at all.
Was he looking for the invite in? Would you like to
maybe
come in?
There was a pause where we were kissed. And then he grabbed me back and he kissed me again. And I'm like, okay, bye. Because I love
He's
kissing.
Like, come on, it's Sex with Emily. How am I not getting invited
that's
in?
So that's obvious.
Such a weird issue.
Well, it is.
He goes, I must have failed
but
so hard.
But this is what I'm thinking is that in his mind, he's thinking, I'm going to try. Because if this is what happens with Sex with Emily, like it says it on your business card. Like, I'm
kissing the car is almost like striking out.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's just so obvious if everyone comes to my house, right?
Yeah.
So I said no. He didn't even offer, but I could see that he would easily be like, yeah, let's go to your house. So I said, good night. Let's talk after. Let's talk soon. And then he texted me and then I forgot. So that means I'm going to him.
Yeah, you can't. That happens. You guys forget. Or even when we say you had to drive home or you took your own Uber home, text me when you get home, which is a really sweet gesture from the guy. 2/3 of the time when the girl gets home, she takes off her makeup and she forgets. And the guy's left. And then he might text, just making sure you got home. And half the girls are like, stalker, I just left you.
Puts
the guy in a weird
spot. I do always forget. Even my girlfriends are like, text when you get home. I'm like,
girls forget.
The second that news went out my ear, the second you said that, I don't remember.
I know.
But he didn't. And then he said, I'll hit you up next week. And then he did. And I just forgot until this moment.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's fine.
And, wow. It sounds very riveting, your dating life
so
right
boring.
Now.
So boring. I know.
Yeah,
dude,
what
I
the
just
hell?
What?
I was waiting for something juicy. Like, I just went to some random orgy or something like that.
I was trying to think.
What's
I am going
on?
An orgy.
It's so tame.
No. I am going. No.
Okay.
Fuck. I'm sorry. That was.
You're disappointing me.
Dude, I've been busy. I mean, I'm trying to think what else. You know.
With your award season.
Yeah.
My award season. Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
But my friggin'. Okay. We'll take that. Oh, God, this other guy just texted me that I also got fixed up with. Do you remember Julia Allison from our reality
show? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay, so, right. So she's trying to fix me up with somebody, and he keeps texting me, and I talked to him once, and she said, he's really nice, he's great. I talked to him, and I was like, and then I haven't texted him back, and she texts me, and she goes, don't ghost on him. She goes, I can't believe you're ghosting, he's a really great guy. I'm like, and then my friend, and I was like, you don't
Julia only knows guys from Burning Man.
She's like, right.
Oh, I know. I mean, but she hangs out with some suitors with large bank accounts.
Yeah,
I wouldn't.
That's true.
I wouldn't like.
You know me. If I care about large bank accounts, I'd be in the Bahamas.
You should start caring about that.
But the other thing I have to say, we'll get back to that. We've got lots going on here, is that enough of my goddamn boring dating life, but it's not that bad. I'm just starting up again because you know I broke up with someone.
Yeah.
Right? We talked about this.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good. Like,
plenty of room
what's
in
so
the
interesting
pool.
Is that I'm not even like thinking, like I don't even, like that's what you asked me. I'm like, oh yeah, date. Like I don't even care. But we need to talk about our event.
Yes.
Brian is here because we are doing an amazing event that we just pulled together that is going to be probably the most exciting night of my life, or at least of March.
Yeah, it seemed exciting.
Grammys were in February, so we're going for March.
Exactly. And this is the great, what's it called? I can't even.
We're calling it Love and Sex Live at the Improv, at the Hollywood Improv.
I just don't know where everything is here.
Do you want me to explain the event?
Yeah, but I don't explain the internet or
the event.
Okay, yes, go and explain it.
Well, at Great Love Debate, we tour all over the country, do live, interactive shows with about sex, love, dating, relationships, all that kind of stuff. And Emily had great success with her 10th anniversary podcast show at the same venue. So I'm like, let's pool up. I'm the love, you're the sex, put it together, put a couple hundred people there, some great guests.
I'm loving sex
like,
too.
You're both loving sex. Yeah. And I'm both sex and love. Yes. Right. We got Dr. Drew coming and we are going to collectively hash out interactive town hall style men versus women, sex, love, dating, relationships, and everything that could possibly come up.
Exactly. It's called Love and Sex Live.
Yep.
But there won't be live sex. People have been asking me that. I mean, there could be.
There's alcohol.
Because you know. Right. Two drink minimum.
Yeah.
And we've got a great panel, and we're just going to be walking around the audience talking to everyone about, you know, what.
It's like group therapy with cocktails, and it's fun, and it really, it's a very open, honest, sharing environment, but it's also in a comedy club, so it gets really crazy.
So we're
going to
be funny.
We're also going to be very funny.
And maybe naked. And it's March 10th at 7:30 at the Hollywood Improv, and then you can get tickets
at the Hollywood Improv. GreatLoveDebate.com. You can get them.
Yeah, hopefully. Is it on our website too?
SexWithEmily.com.
So you guys should buy. It's March 10th, and we want to see you there. And Menace might be there too.
Yeah.
No.
You never know.
Might. It's not that late.
Menace doesn't do things with me. It's okay.
Yeah, I do.
We used to a lot. It's
what?
Fine. I'm over it. I've already like let it go.
He's doing something with you right now. He's 3 feet away.
Hello, I'm here.
What's going on with you? Anything new?
Just working nonstop, constantly on the Woody Show. Daily podcast, the Woody
Show. I'm
going to
do the Woody Show as my second show now, too.
Yeah?
If
you want to.
I think we all jived. I thought we had really good energy.
Yeah. No, it was super fun having you there. And then it's music festival season again, always Coachella. So.
I'm toying with Coachella.
Yeah. So I'll be there, and I don't know, a bunch of festivals coming up.
Do you do Stagecoach?
I don't do Stagecoach, but I heard it's freaking awesome.
Yeah, people love Stagecoach.
I heard the women
are
beautiful.
Country Coachella.
I like country.
Yeah, it's the same. And they have big time acts, and the women are really are beautiful.
And everyone's down just to party and have a good time. Coachella is like, could be very snobby.
Coachella is a little bit about the scene. Stagecoach is about the fun.
Yeah.
See, I went like 10
years
ago
to check it out,
but I'm not. I just feel like every year I'm like, oh, I should go again.
Yeah.
Kind of like Burning Man, but I did go 10 years ago also to Burning Man.
Oh,
I'm done.
Are you done? It's bigger, better. I don't know. People who go, whose opinion I trust. Really do swear by it.
My friends all still go. I mean, all of my San Francisco friends still go. But, you know, whatever. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I can barely, like, get out. I can barely, like, do a sleepover at someone's house, like, which is a problem.
I need a shower.
Is Paul on the phone?
All right,
I'm so excited.
Here.
Here's the thing, Paul. He's an Emmy and Peabody award-winning comedian. And he's won multiple Emmys. The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. NBD, currently works on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. He's awesome, and he has a new podcast. Well, it's been around for a while, but he's relaunching it again. It's called Two Chairs and a Microphone on the Adam Carolla Network. And well, I can tell you when I was on his podcast that we talked a lot about sex, obviously, but I think I made him a little uncomfortable.
Oh, really?
This is
podcast.
But he should have.
What's the podcast about?
His podcast. He interviews. I mean, he had Paul McCartney on his podcast. I mean, he's got.
So it's an interview podcast.
It's an interview podcast.
It's two chairs and a microphone.
Two chairs
I guess
and a microphone.
So.
Get it? And he just interviews a lot of like fascinating people on his podcast that
about their life and
about
things
their lives.
Like that.
Yep. He has Stephen Colbert, Kristen Chenoweth, Adam Carolla, Judd Apatow, Sugar Ray Leonard, Jay Leno. Let's talk to Paul Mercurio. Hi, Paul. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, absolutely. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. I'm here with Menace, my co-host, and Brian Howie from the Great Love Debate podcast, and we were just talking about you.
I wasn't. You wouldn't make me uncomfortable. I was just like, the lube and everything else. I was pretty cool. Like you really like educated me. You know.
I know. I'm glad. No, I know. I don't think you were uncomfortable because you knew. I was thinking about how we met, Paul. That we both went to a barbecue at Dr. Drew's house. It was like a Sunday afternoon, and you were there before I got there, and he shows up, and I think you brought cookies and stuff, and then I showed up, and I brought like a bunch of sex toys, and I never met Paul. I'm like, here you guys go. Here's your sex toys.
They were out of potato salad.
Exactly. I'm like, but here's toys, and Paul's just, I'm like, look at this one. You can stick. It was like a wee vibe. I'm like, you'd stick this and that, and he, even knowing that about me, Paul still had me on his podcast, which
I
was honored.
No, it was great, and then we were talking about a lot of conversation about anal. Which was good.
Because, I did.
Typical barbecue fare.
Yeah.
I don't do it. Like, my wife's not really into it, and then whatever. And then, you know, Emily's attractive, so it's kind of hard. You start talking to Emily about this stuff, and then, you know, and then you're like, oh, my God. And then you're like, I need to pour water on myself. Somebody on Twitter actually said, like, we were tweeting back and forth about the episode, and you remember you responded to a guy that said something like, Is it hard to or difficult like to do that kind of conversation with somebody who's attractive? And I go, absolutely it is. And then you said something about, well, you can't be attractive and be a sex therapist. I'm like, no, it's great, but like, it's hard, you know?
Really? I think it's easier when they're attractive.
Well,
to be honest,
but then I was like,
when they're not, you're like,
oh,
I don't really don't want to be talking about sex stuff with you because I, you know.
Right.
I find you revolting, but, you know.
Yes. Right. Well, there was, you know, there is something to that because I lived, when I quit being a lawyer to be a comedian and I moved to a rooming house just outside of New York City. And it was like this halfway house for like all these dysfunctional people. And one of them was a 300-pound phone sex operator who sold Herbalife diet products door to door. And I could hear all her calls. So the person on the other end, she would describe herself as like, you know, 100 pounds, 105 pounds, and like, you know, 5'8", blue eyes, and mm-hmm. I knew she was 300 pounds. So I know what the person looks like who's saying what she's saying. And it was like, I would literally have to walk around outside while she did her calls so I didn't have to hear them. It was unbelievably, like, gross. But that's why I agree with you. Like, you know what the person looks like. It's crazy hard. But with Emily, you know, she's a lovely woman. We're talking about all this stuff. And then she put that powder that
I rub ball cream on his hand. My down and comfort.
Well, you said you were married, right?
He's married. Okay. No, I didn't rub it on his balls.
Well, why would you put ball cream on your hand?
I have a product line called Down Under Comfort.
But why put it on your hand?
Well, just to show him the how it turns from a cream to
amazing,
a powder.
Though.
It feels amazing.
It's amazing. And I kept asking her, can't you put it on my balls? And she said no. And I'm like, all right, well, this isn't a fun interview at all.
That's surprising. Exactly.
Paul, I don't even get it on my hand here. So
I'm sorry. I didn't bring you some. I have some in my
nothing.
Car.
Mm.
I'll rub it on you.
Yeah, and she had... She did. We're sitting outside Dr. Drew's patio, and then all of a sudden, like, we're talking about these, like, I don't know, finger vibrators for anal. I don't know. Right. And I'm like, wow, this is my chocolate chip cookies really suck compared to this.
No, those were good cookies. Yeah. Those were really good cookies you bought. But I did bring the We Vibe Honeymoon Kit, which is this toy that has an anal thing and mm-hmm. nutes for clitoral stimulation and G-spot.
Yeah, it was a two-prong thing. And I'm like,
what the hell is that?
It's like a 7-layer dip.
Like, pass
it's
out.
Emily's equivalent of a 7-layer dip.
Why would you be bringing this to a barbecue? I know you don't cook, but geez, like, well, go to Whole Foods or something.
I know. Well, because I knew there'd be plenty of food. They always got the food taken care of, and I wanted to show them new toys because I get really, really excited about it.
But guys, honestly, she pulls this thing out, right? And it's this two-pronger. It looks like it came out of Star Wars or something. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, maybe they could roll up my chocolate chips and put that in their ass. Like, I don't know. Like, there was no way my gifts could compare to that. Like, it was pretty. And then you can recharge it, right? Like, you stick it in a pump.
Yeah, I think, like, Susan's like, I'll go charge it.
Like your iPod.
Exactly. No, it's very exciting now. Well, we talked about that because you hadn't used toys before, you said, really, with your wife.
We don't use any toys. We used a little lube gel one time, a couple of times. My wife didn't like it. I tried the anal with the wife one time. Didn't like it. Maybe I shouldn't have duct taped her, but no. She doesn't like it, so we don't do it.
That's okay. But, you know, hey, there's like, we just talked about some of the options, I think, during the podcast, which I loved being a guest on.
We're kind of pretty meat and potatoes, kind of like, I do like to have, like, ESPN on or the TV on, and then I mute it for light in the room. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, I mean, you could also use candles, let's just say. You know, little atmosphere for candles. Did I give you a massage candle as well?
Probably.
I got to send you a package. I need to send you some more toys and a package. But, okay, let's talk about your podcast, Two Chairs and a Microphone. So who's coming? I know you had Paul McCartney on the show, which I keep trying to get a hold of him. You know, we're trying to get a date for him to be on my show, and it hasn't happened. I'm just wondering how the hell you pulled that off.
Well, he told me that you called him, but that you were teased when it came to ball cream, and that there's no way he would come on unless you put the ball cream on his balls. That's what he said to me.
Really? So, I would have totally done that. No, but tell me about that.
So I was working on the Colbert Report, and what happened was he was there doing like a special show to promote like a tour he was doing, a new release, and he had just done rehearsing, we're loading the audience in, and I'm walking through the hallway, and it's Paul McCartney standing all alone in the hallway, leaning against the wall like he's waiting for a bus, like just looking up at the ceiling, chewing gum, and he was all alone. Like, that's the thing that threw me more than anything else. Like, he didn't have a handler or anything with him. It was just him alone, right? So my whole world slows down. I'm like, oh, my God, it's Paul McCartney. And then do I say hi? Do I not say hi? And, you know, we've all been around, like, celebrities, and usually I just, like, leave them alone, whatever. You don't want to be that guy. But I'm like, geez, it's Paul McCartney. I got to, like, you know, say hi. So I go over. I figure I'd just say hi, and I walk away. And I said, Harry, I'm a big fan. He goes, what's your name? I go, Paul. He goes, oh, Paul, that's a good name. And, you know, he starts, what do you do? I'm a stand-up. Oh, what do you do? We travel. We start 5-10 minutes go by. We're talking about touring and kids and and nobody's coming over to me. Like, I'm waiting for somebody to tase me.
Right, throw you in jail. Guy, right? Something,
And on the outside, like, I'm all smooth and hip. I'm like, hey, I'm talking to Paul McCartney. But on the inside, I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to blow the money. I was like one of those girls you see like in the old films, right?
Right.
So then, and by the way, I was becoming like the creepy close talker guy.
Oh,
I
God.
Kept, like, leaning, because he looks amazing. He's 73, but he looks like he's 60, and he's just leaning in and leaning in, and he kept, like, leaning back. And I'm like, you know what? I got to leave this guy alone. So I leave. And I go into the men's room. I'm like hyperventilating, and I call my wife. I'm like, you're not gonna believe. And she thought I was, you know, she thought I was beaten off in the men's room. Check them. She goes, what are you doing? I'm like, I just dropped the phone. Okay. So then I'm delusional, and I say, he should do my podcast. That's what I say.
No,
myself,
you're
right?
Good, right?
Sure. So I go and I knock on his door, in the dressing room door, and I say, hey, I know this is crazy, but would you do my podcast? And he goes, yeah, sure, just like that, like just like that.
Did you do it right there?
No.
Oh, in the bathroom?
No, what happened was, it almost didn't happen because he threw me. Like, I didn't have any plan. I didn't know what I was going to do. Right? So, you know, it's like you want to ask a hot girl or guy out in high school, and you're like, I'll ask her out. She's way above my pay grade. I'll get it out of my system, and I'll know I asked, and she'll say no. Instead, she says yes, and you don't have a plan.
Yeah.
That was me. He goes, how do we do it? And I literally am like, I'll come to London. And he's like, why would you come to London? We're in New York together. And then he goes, is it easy to do? And I actually said to the most influential musician in the last century, I go, yeah, it's really easy. I don't want to be a bother. You could do it on your phone, naked from your toilet. I'm like, what am I saying?
You're a comedian, so, though, so he got it. He still said yes.
Super flustered. You know,
I'm flustered even,
right?
Hearing this, yeah.
So I end up saying, look, I'm going to leave you alone. I'll go talk to your assistant, and we'll get it set up. And she's like, he goes, no. He goes, they'll muck it up. He goes, you and I'll do it. I go, what do you mean? He goes, they'll screw it up. Just let's exchange numbers.
I love this.
So
now,
what?
Now I'm handing my phone number to Paul McCartney. And it was the most surreal, like, so I leave. I think I got the nicest bluff on the face of the planet. We do the show, and we tape the Daily Show, which I was also working on at the time, like two blocks from that show. So I had to leave the Colbert Show to go to the Daily Show. I'm getting my backpack together stuff because I'm running late. The phone rings. I don't recognize the number. It rings to voicemail, and I'm going to play this message for you right now.
Oh,
here it is.
Hey, Paul. It's Paul McCartney here. I'm going to ring you back in 5 minutes to do the podcast thing. I've got some time now. Otherwise, I'm going to run out of time. So if you're there in 5 minutes' time, you got me. Okay, bye.
Okay, that was Paul McCartney leaving me a voice message.
Okay, I love it.
It's crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now I hear that, and I realize I just screened the call from Paul McCartney, and I'm never going to get him back. And I start screaming in the street where I got the call. I retrieved the message on the street, and I'm like, no, and I'm screaming. And then I called him back, and they said, hold on a second, he's in the bathroom. And then I had to picture him in the bathroom. And then he did it. He got on the phone, and we did the interview.
That's amazing.
That's the thing. The very, very top, top stars, they can make their own decisions.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you get into that next level where even if they say yes, their management, their publicists, everything get involved, and it usually doesn't happen. Paul McCartney can do whatever he
wants.
Yeah,
exactly. I love that. So it ended up being great. And people can find all your podcasts. What's the best place for people to...
Well, I'm on the Adam Carolla Network, so you can go there, or it's even easier. Just go to my website, paulmcurio.com, M-U-C-U-R-I-O.
And we'll have all this on my website, too. Because people mess up the name.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a really cool conversation just about, you know, like, I didn't talk to him like I was a fan. I just talked to him about a guy, about music. Because I really, like, you're asking really what my... It was a good question, like, what's my podcast about?
Yeah.
I think I like to ask people about their process and, like, how they do what they do and why they do what they do. And I have a wide array of guests. Like, it's not just all comedians, like Neil deGrasse Tyson, Emily. Like, we really cover the gamut. So, and I asked them, I said, like, you know, when you're a performer, you kind of know what your fans like. I said, where did you get the guts to keep changing your sound so dramatically from, like, one album to the next? And not worry about losing your fans. And he goes, well, you know, I know we never thought of that, but he goes, we just did what we were passionate about, and we hope people would come along. Like, So it was a real conversation just about making music. It wasn't about all the titillating stuff about do you hate Yoko and all this other stuff.
Exactly. So, no, I find that much more interesting when you're interviewing amazing artists just to hear, like, I love hearing about the process.
The one question I wanted to ask him that I didn't have the balls to was, like, hey, you're a Beatle. Why would you marry a woman with one leg? That's all I'm saying. I just was curious about that.
Maybe you'll get a second ear. Exactly. Maybe
he
get a
thinks on a deeper level than the rest of us.
But I'm sure
all you need is love.
I'm sure you did a great one, and lots of great people on your podcast. We already read the list of all the people on your podcast, but they can check it out. Two chairs and a microphone, and you got to be on my podcast. Has this not happened yet? Next time you're in town?
Yes, I'm looking at possibly coming in the next few weeks, so I'll let you know.
Okay, you better hit me up, Paul. I'm excited.
I will, and
it'll be fun.
I get the ball cream ready.
Okay, no, I got the ball cream. This time we're really going to apply the ball cream. But congrats on and everything, and the Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and all your success. And I will see you soon.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, thanks, Paul. Have a great day. Bye.
All right. Take care, guys. Thank you.
Cool.
He's a good guy. We had a fun on his podcast. I think I did embarrass him though, because I was your wife use these toys, and he's like, try this one, whatever.
I know. Meeting somebody for the first time that has a bunch of toys.
So aggressive.
Wouldn't you?
I didn't know he was there. They weren't like, come to a barbecue. It was like, just
I'm like, Susan. Do you invite Emily to the Christmas party?
Yeah,
no. Well, I didn't know it was a thing. I just thought it was his family. Everyone in Drew's family knows that I like bring toys. It's fine. Okay, so
imagine meeting somebody's family too. You're like, oh, this is Emily.
Well, you've already heard my stories about meeting the family when they Google me. Like, it's the worst. Like, my dad Googled you, and it's anal sex.
My dad is a huge fan. He listens to the podcast.
I know, but you're fine. You're like, if your mother's fine, everybody's mother's fine.
Yeah, exactly. That's my mom's cool. She's just like, glad I can pay my rent.
Exactly.
So that's all she cares about. Okay, but first, before we get back into all the dating stuff, I need to talk to you about the rave. Not like a rave party,
but
this thing is such like a party in your pants. Mm-hmm. You know I love WeVibes, famous couples toys, and their super-powered bullet vibes, which is like the one I gave to Drew, I was telling you, which is why I'm so excited to introduce the incredible Rave. First glance, the Rave appears to be a simple sculptural vibrator, but when you look closer, you'll see an array of facets and asymmetrical curves that make it so special. The Rave was designed with one primary goal, to help women locate and stimulate their G-spot. Once inserted, a gentle twist in either direction will glide the Rave's varied angles and faces over your most sensitive areas, and it allows you this precise control and pinpoint stimulation. Pretty soon, you'll find your G-spot and know exactly how to make it happen. It's hard for some people to find their G-spot. We've talked about this, man.
Yeah,
we're going to do an app called the G-Spot Locator.
That's good.
We don't need to anymore because this will find your G-Spot.
All right, good.
It has all these vibration patterns. It's rechargeable, 100% body-safe materials, and you can use their WeVibe Connect app. So if you're in a relationship with someone, they can vibe you. If you're not even in the same room, if you're in a different country, doesn't matter. It's the coolest. We've all found our G-Spots in the office like time and time again because we have such a good time with it. So, and we have a video about it. You can check it out at our YouTube channel. It's The Rave. So go to sextheemily.com, click on the Rave by WeVibe banner, and use code Emily for a special, very special discount. All right. So Brian, great Love Debate. If you haven't listened, our podcast was very fun a few weeks ago. We did it, right?
Yeah.
A month ago?
Oh my God. Just our Great Love Debate podcast. We have gotten more people listening to our show because they heard me on your show. So we've had all these Sex with Emily fans listening to us and emailing us and tweeting us. Yeah, it was great.
That's exciting because we had a really good time. So
you're kind of popular, Emily, on the internet.
I'm popular on the internet and on the interweb. And
outside
in restaurants.
Your photos.
And in restaurant staff. Yeah.
Well, it's weird because here's the other thing. Why I was bringing that up is that like, I'm like, oh, this happens. Because it happens sometimes. But the thing I'm realizing lately is with my voice, too. I could just be talking and
they recognize your voice.
Yeah, so it's like you can't, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to be quiet because I also talk really, really loud, as you know. Madison came down the office the other day and the entire building was reverberating from my phone call. Okay, Brian, so you, if they don't know, so great, Love Debate, you've done 100 plus shows.
126 shows in 78 cities live.
Yeah. That's amazing. And we covered a lot of this on the last show and we talked about the environment. So today I thought that we would just talk about some of the things. We had a very interesting lunch together where we talked kind of about the show, but I learned more about, you know, all the stuff, like the common threads that you found about people dating and how it's so different in different parts of the country.
Well,
like,
it's different in parts of the country.
People don't get into like a...
People are a lot nicer in the Midwest.
They are more hopeful and whatever. And one of the things that came up at our show in New York, we had a live show in New York a couple weeks ago, was that a lot of the women were complaining that when they go on dates, the men just want to talk about themselves. And so I made the point that when a man is nervous, he talks more. And when a woman is nervous, she talks less. And that leads to a screwed up balance on first dates where the man is, if he's talking a lot, he's probably really, right. It's flattering in a way. It's almost that he's nervous to be around you. And sometimes the women interpret that like he just wanted to talk about himself all night. And really, you know, your job sort of would overcome that is say something, ask something, do something. He wants to hear from you. He's just in his own head and babbling.
Right. No, I know. I know that.
Nothing can ever just go together. Like when they said the percentages, men love morning sex way more than evening sex, and women love evening sex way more than morning sex.
Dude, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, because morning sex to him, it feels more like a release, and her at the end of the day, it's more romantic.
Right. No, it's all really confusing. It's all we don't match easily
at all. What the hell?
I know. That's how we just need really good friends.
Yeah.
As well, and we need a tribe. We need a whole community of people.
Well, even on your date, he probably interprets that it went well.
Mm-hmm. Because I kissed him.
Because you kissed him. That's a pretty good sign. If you kiss us, we think at least you think we're not gross.
Right.
And he kissed you twice. Okay.
Yeah.
And so then
I think he was waiting for the
when he texts you, and you kind of ghosted him for a couple days. That's where the man is looking for any little sign of validation. Early on in the relationship.
It was like a day and a half, 2 days. And I said, hey, yeah, that'd be fun. And I would go out with him. See, the thing is, I truly like dating. Like, I enjoy the process of, like, I think he's really interesting. Like, I look at it like he's someone I could be friends with. And he's super smart. Like, everything about him I thought was interesting. Culturally, like, what we talked about, the whole thing.
You weren't attracted to him.
I tried sometimes. I really did. I really did.
What does try mean? Really more wine? Like,
it was really good wine. But yeah, I was attracted, but not enough. But the truth is, yeah, I did. But then I did text him back, and then I'll just sort of probably let it fade. But I would have dinner with, like, there's a fun part. Like, I'd go to a dinner party with some of his friends. He's like, we do these dinner parties once a month. Like, I think, I don't look at it as like it was a waste. I mean, it could be a new friend, like as a waste of time or anything.
You know, that's the thing. You never know who that person knows. And you never know who they're one degree with. So everybody has value. Unless there's somebody who's really painful for you to be around, or it's something that you really didn't get along, keeping them sort of in your life on a friendship basis has huge value.
Right. And Menace likes to often point out that I am friends with all of my exes.
Oh.
Like BFF.
They go on vacations together with their new... Yeah, he loves girlfriends and wives.
Right, all good.
Do they still hit on you?
No.
Lies.
Do you cuddle?
Totally.
No.
Do they rub your feet?
Like
where? Where's
still
the
make
what
out.
Are the rules?
We didn't know. Not when I. Well, we no. We don't hook up.
Yeah.
No.
That was the least sure no I've ever heard.
I know.
I don't close the door on it forever, but no.
Don't believe anything.
I'm on a trip with them and. I was with my boyfriend at the time, and they were their new girlfriend.
One of like many times you hang out.
I feel
with
weird being at a wedding where I've had sex with the bride.
I never go to any of those.
Right? I'm like, because
you're like, my penis was inside the bride.
Yeah, I feel uncomfortable, and I shouldn't because she invited me and must be good. And part of me is too much of a jerk. I'm like, still, like I had her first.
I get it.
I've been invited to baby showers. And I'm like, no, not going to that either.
Really?
Hell no.
Why? Just because...
I think it's like, even I won't, I mean, I don't know any of the guys. I still think it's like disrespectful. If I was in that situation, I wouldn't want any other...
Yeah, I wouldn't want my bride-to-be's ex-boyfriend there.
At all. But
if I ever
Emily
get married,
would just
I know.
Like...
If I ever got married, then that was my rule. There'd be nobody at my wedding.
The entire guest list
there'd
be
no
all
men at my wedding because I've slept with all my guy friends.
Yeah, and you, who've both of us have yet to marry, both of us, like, even putting any sort of parameters on our weddings sounds preposterous.
Right. My mom's always like, just wheel me down the aisle when you get married. But here's a question for you on your dates. When you go out, so... Because I've been thinking about this a lot lately, too, because we are, in our 40s, never been married. Yeah. And so, my first dates typically go like this. I don't know if we talk about this in your show, but this is exactly how it goes down. And I'm curious. They're like, so, have you ever been married? And I say, no. Okay, have you ever lived with anyone? No. What's your longest relationship? Oh, you know, about 2.5 years, 3 years. Okay. have you ever been close to getting married? I'm like, no. Well, because they know I don't want to get married. Right. You know, that it comes out, and they're like, okay. And like, literally, it's that rapid fire every single date. That's how the first like 5 minutes goes. And I'm like, okay. Like, make your decision.
And I think they have every right to ask that.
Me too.
And my answers aren't necessarily better. Have you ever been married? No. Have you ever lived with some? Yeah, a few times. Have you ever long-term relationships? Yeah, lots. That's worse. That means you're almost, because I've had a 4-year, 5-year, 6-year right. relationships, and they're like, so you were willing to, you know, put most of your chips in, but not all your chips right. in, you sort of. And I, you know, I used to make the joke, and it wasn't really the joke, that the resume I handed in was for boyfriend.
Right.
And that was a different skill set. And that is the job that I wanted. And I really liked dating. And to go to that scary, vulnerable, we're going to buy a house and have kids together thing, I didn't feel confident that this was the one. I wanted to do it once and do it right. So if that took me to do in my 40s or maybe it'll take in my 50s or whatever, so be it.
Right. And do you think that there is, though, because I remember always hearing about, like, in my 30s, like, oh, we'd be aware of a guy who's, like, in his 40s and never married. But, like, I'm that girl now, too. Like, is it worse to be a woman? What do you think the society, like, is the judgment around men and women?
A woman... Totally.
It's worse. Like, what's wrong with her?
Yeah, totally. Well, she's nuts.
I don't think about what people think.
I would judge it. I would not judge it, but I would think that you would have to own your answer. You can't just be like, I was busy with other things or
no,
or
I
whatever.
Say by choice. Like, why are you married? I'm like, by choice.
But by choice is not good enough for most
okay,
people.
Okay, well, I will expand upon that. I'll say it really wasn't a goal of mine. I've had a lot of things that I've been focusing on in my life, and marriage and family was never
right. So if you say, I wasn't really that interested in having kids, so I didn't really see the point until I thought I was ready. That's a reasonable answer.
Thank
and
you.
That, a lot of that is my answer, too. My parents didn't seem to enjoy having kids that much.
Right.
So,
no one does. No, so, okay. You're all really happy, I know.
So,
it's the best thing ever.
You know, that's sort of in the 30s, there's this mad rush to, it's almost, you know, sometimes women treat it like a game of musical chairs and I better grab a seat.
Right.
Before the music stops. And then the women in their 40s, sort of that pressure is off. It's a different type of dating because you're dating then for reasons to look for love, but a little bit the women get in their 40s and she's really comfortable in her own ways.
Well, that's the other thing, the older you get. My mom always said this, like, you get, the older you get, like, the more set in the ways, more set in your ways, the more you become. So whatever your issues are, whoever you are, you become more of that.
Well, we talked about that, like, what I think the biggest challenge of dating in Los Angeles is the quality of life because of the weather is so nice. Why do I want to get involved in something icky like dating? And it takes a lot of people out of the pool because they're like, I have my dog and my wine and my yoga class and my friends and whatever. And the prospect of bringing an uncomfortable dating situation into that is an issue for Los Angeles. In Cleveland, you want a distraction from the cold.
Right. You want someone to sit inside and cover with. So you think that people aren't really... I mean, I hadn't heard that before. Madison, what do you think about that? That people here aren't as focused on dating because, like, life is pretty good. It's warm. We've got our friends. Well, we're hanging out.
No, it's something that I've brought up on the show before. Any female friends of mine that live here, they said that the guys that they're dating are never focused on the relationship because they're never doing what they want to do. Like, so they're the guy that, let's say, stereotypical actor or something like that. So he's working a day job, but all his free time is being taken up because he wants to be the actor, you know?
Right. But that's, again, your... Well,
I mean, we've been to 78 cities in North America, and the ones that have weather issues, the Midwest, Canada, the Northeast, dating is a much higher thing to do on the list of priorities. And here it's a little too, I'm just going to go about my day and it's not, it's nice, the weather. And it's, and even in the South, it's a little bit, we go to Austin, we go to Phoenix, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like a little bit more like hanging out for fun and guys and girls are together. But the actual, like, let's go out to dinner and go on dates is less frequent in places that have temperate climates.
Yeah, but even in San Francisco is freezing and people are still, like, casually not really dating, not asking people to date.
Yeah, but my friends in other states, their free time is all hanging out in a group and just mingling with each other or whatever. And then here it's like everyone's so busy. Like, my best friend from high school, I've mentioned this before, lives like 45 minutes away, and I've seen him one time since I've been here.
I know.
You know?
No, it's hard. I like that. Yeah,
it is. It's a traffic thing. But the other thing that's become an issue everywhere is that a date meant, it used to mean, I pick you up and I take you out. because the women do not want any part of getting picked up now, it's we're going to meet out, two cars, two Ubers or whatever. It leads to this hangout kind of culture. And, you know, the women don't like that. They're like, all the guys just want to hang out. Well, to defend the guys a little bit, you've taken away the pick up, drive me home specialness of the first couple encounters. So it is sort of meet up, hang out. Where are you going after this?
Yeah, you don't get that intimacy when the door closes and you're in their car for the first time. I mean, you really don't.
Yeah,
you're like meeting in a crowded
place. Or coming to my house and knocking on the door. The opportunity for him to show up with flowers and candy and champagne like you used to have to do is gone.
It is gone. You're right. It's a lot less pressure, though, too, for the guy, right?
It's a little less pressure, but
it's taking away some intimacy.
At least there was a bar he could meet. You know, at least there was something like, I know I need to do this.
Right.
Versus, oh, is that her? Hey.
Right. Yeah. No, are you so-and-so? Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
So the definition of what a date is has changed.
That's true. Okay. I kind of like it, though. I like having my freedom because I don't want that pressure that he has to drive me home, although this happened the other night, and I did kiss him, but that was fine.
Yeah, the worst,
medium story.
I'm from New York originally. The worst thing you can hear on a date in New York is the girl to say, two stops, please, to the cab driver.
You're like, damn. Okay.
Wait. I want to ask him, so after visiting all these cities, which one do you think has been the coolest, just the like easiest to talk to when it comes to people?
Charlotte, North Carolina. And
it's funny you say that.
Why?
Because I know some people from there, and they're super easy to talk to.
People move there every day.
Yeah.
They move there from all over the place. It's vibrant. The community is great. Put it this way. They have a bar crawl there that a couple friends of mine run on St. Patrick's Day. 21,000 people will do a bar crawl
Charlotte
for St. Patrick's Day. It is a fun, vibrant city. People move in there every day. It's in the South without being too Southern. It's great. Charlotte, North Carolina is booming.
I'm actually going to go there next February, long time from now.
You already
because
know?
They had the All-Star basketball game.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I already booked to go there.
Good for you. You're such a good
planner.
So I'm going
to check it out. For the first time.
I've never been. I have a question for you. So we talked about this too. A lot of women and men complain that it's easy to get the first date, but so hard to get the second. So what do you think goes wrong on these first dates?
I think on the first dates, the lack of communication on both parts. A lot of times I ask, you know, usually if a guy is going out with a girl once, almost without exception, he wants to go out with her again. She could be a crazy, bitchy, terrible person on the first date. He still probably wants to see her again. She is looking for a lot of reasons not to go out again. She's the one who's like, how do I get out of this after 10 minutes? I always say, you know, the women look for red flags, the men look for green lights. Even if it goes well, a lot of times I hear the woman say, I don't understand. I laughed, I touched his arm, I said thank you, and he didn't call me.
Right.
And I said, did you say thank you? I would like to do it again. And they're like, no, he could tell. He can't tell.
But you think that he didn't. So really, like, he did not call because...
He didn't get any feedback. In the first date, he asks you out. He compliments you. He pays for you. He's doing a lot. And at the most, maybe he's getting back thank you. Well, if you had a bad time, you would say thank you as well. So that's not enough.
I always say thank you.
Right. Good or bad.
Okay.
So he needs to hear from you. That's a lot of times
like
why he makes a move.
Is that what you're saying?
I would love to do it again. That's why.
What if he doesn't want to do it again? I would never leave.
He almost wants to.
Yeah. I disagree, though. You're telling me
he's
the only
guy,
reason
he wants
a guy
to do it again.
The only reason a guy doesn't ask you on a second date is because he wasn't sure if you want to. What if I really annoyed him?
That's not the only reason.
What if I was on my phone?
No problem.
There could be a million reasons.
Fine,
I go to the lobster. Or I talk on my phone all the time. There could be a million reasons.
Right. If you did that, if you talked on your phone the whole time, that's just sending him signals that I don't like you. You know, your disinterest in you, all that, it's feedback.
What if I was just really annoying?
Really annoying?
I can't imagine that,
but really annoying, really pretty will cancel out really annoying, and really...
Really pretty canceled out everything for a while.
If you would say, though, oh my God, this was so much fun, I can't wait to do it again, he will almost always go out with you again. Only for the reason that he might want a little return on his investment. He just bought you that lobster,
right.
And you know he's
How
not getting.
How come when he says it, you believe him, but when I say it, you think I'm full of shit?
I
say the same thing.
What have you said? You haven't said it that way.
I know that's what I'm saying. He says it in a more articulate way than I do.
What do you say that every man's going to say yes again?
Of course.
I just don't.
Well, even why,
unless you are like
women
freaking out of your mind.
Women misinterpret even his desire to have sex early on. They think that.
No, we don't.
Yeah. He does want to, but it's not necessarily a primal thing. A lot of times it's if she had sex with me, she must not think I'm gross. She must like me or whatever.
Okay.
So if the woman says, and I think I said this the other day, if you say to the guy, listen, it's going to take me a while to get comfortable, but when I do, I'll blow your mind.
Right.
He will forget about it's going to take a while, and he'll hear blow your mind, and he will wait months and months and months, and he's very comfortable with that because he knows it's a possibility down the end of the road. What they don't want to hear is, I don't really have sex very quickly. Or they don't want to hear, like, you know, I'm not going to sleep with you.
Do you know how many times I've heard that, and then that night?
Yeah, that happens. They don't actually do that, but if you're like, I'm not going to sleep with you, you're really just telling him this isn't a possibility. You have to dangle a possibility, not a reward. And
I want another lobster.
It's not about the possibility that I need to feel comfortable. It's the possibility that when I feel comfortable, it's going to be very sexual.
and it's going to rock the world.
Imagine that in their heads, and then they will table that.
Okay.
And one more thing.
Yes, there's
Have I been saying for years? Women just need to be slightly more aggressive.
Aggressive how?
Not where they come on too strong. Just because, again, guys can't even read if you like them or not. You know,
you have to give them more signs. And you think you think I like them?
You think you're giving them signs?
Do you compliment
just
a man
verbally?
Yeah, I do. Our next topic was compliments. So, Menace, for years we've been talking about this, and it's a debate, and I. Like, I love compliments. I love receiving them. I love giving them. I'm a natural giver of compliments, too. Like, I don't ever stop and think, well, should I not give them a compliment? I'm like, oh, you look great, kids. For men and for women.
Has she complimented you today, Menace? I haven't complimented
her. I don't know. I don't really pay
attention. The day's young.
Before the show. I'm sure.
We didn't have time, but
I'm sure she did, though. She is very good about that, and she does compliment people a
lot. Exactly. And so I always give, you know, I just do. I'm like, and also I require them, and it, you know, in a relationship, it feels very affirming. If it got, you know, we put a lot of effort into things. Like, just tell me I look pretty or nice or you don't want to hear it. And I joke, I'm like, 10 times a day, 10 things. I mean, it's like 10 compliments a day. And
I think
like
10 is being light. I think she was saying about like 20.
No, but even
like
just one or two. And Amanda's like, no, you know, because then she's going to know that you really like her and she's really hot. She already knows she's hot. And I don't need to compliment her. That was your whole thing.
Well,
correct?
A lot of it was like a 10 is pretty excessive. And then you also, you just become,
make a point.
You need to vary your compliments.
Right.
If you say this, say, like, God, you're so hot 10 times, that's going to be a bit.
No.
But you could pick, you could talk about her outfit, which shows her style, which shows her personality.
Right.
You could say, oh my God, the way you reflect your eyes in that background looks really
good.
Exactly.
I love what you did with your hair today.
You need to be creative with your compliments and notice things. You know, the difference between creepy and a compliment is who's giving it. But the creativity can overcome a lot of the creepy. And if you are creative and you are interesting and it is the first time she has ever heard something said that particular way, it's going to be memorable and it's going to make an impression on
her.
Yeah, and let's say you're in a relationship. I would say maybe that could happen once a week or something like that most. But
you
10
tell
times
her,
a day?
You tell her you know, the most beautiful time for any woman is usually when she's caught off guard and kind of that sleepy half light at 8 a.m. You know, that's the way we see her because it's a three-dimensional image of her. It's more than a picture, more than a selfie. If you tell her she looks pretty at a time when she probably isn't expecting it, or maybe she doesn't think she looks so good.
Yeah, like in the morning when I know I don't look very good, maybe.
When she's all dolled up, she knows she looks good. She probably told herself she looked good before she came out of the bathroom. But if she's sitting there just like cooking bacon and a robe and doesn't be like, oh, you look great, because she probably does look great, you know.
That doesn't answer the question. The question was, so are you just saying, okay, there's no number on it if that happens, what you just talked about in the kitchen or whatever happens 2 months from now, that's when I do it? Or because Emily's like putting down a number each day, the amount.
No, I'm not saying 3 on
Tuesday. But you want it every day, right?
It's kind of nice every day. Hey, you look nice. You look sweet. You look hot. I love your pants.
What do you think?
Well, it should be at least once a day, but every compliment should be different. It's like a snowflake.
Right.
It should be like, come up with a different way to say it, and you'd be surprised at how you will notice things about her when you're sort
it's
of
like a project.
Yeah, it is. Like, I'm going to tell her in a new way how beautiful I think she is.
Yes, exactly. And it's not because my ego like needs it so bad. It's not even about that. It's part of it. Don't get me wrong. But it is just about, like, you know, words of affirmation. Just being
sweet. She knows she's hot, but she doesn't know that you're noticing her or things about her or things. And that's
because this guy I was dating recently, even too, I said to him, I was like, what, like, is it, I know that you think I'm attractive, but like, if you just, here's the thing, even if you just see me, and maybe you know, you think it, maybe you should just say it out loud rather than thinking like, oh, I don't want to tell her because I don't know why you don't tell me. Like, this was my conversation with him. But we were talking about, anyway, and he still didn't, and we're not dating, but that's not why. So, sure. But Brian, you were also talking about, no, a million other things, but Brian, you were talking about men needing and requiring compliments as well, and I always give compliments to men, like, all the time, and I feel like most of them, the way men react to compliments is like, oh, no, no, I feel like they don't even hear it. Like, they
it's,
don't need
it's
it.
It's pretty rare. I don't know if I've heard to my face 100 times in my life that I was good-looking, or that somebody
you're
said so I looked good.
I think you're really handsome.
Well, then it's 98. We're getting close to 100. Yeah, thank you.
Almost
but,
there.
But it's so – we don't hear that from women. We might hear – and these have equal value. You look great. I love the way that shirt looks on you. You look good. Or like little things that are positive affirmation. You know, if he shows up on a date wearing a Ben Roethlisberger jersey, if you just said rather than, oh, my God, I can't believe you showed up, that you're like, you know what would look great? I bet you look fantastic in a suit. And he will
remember. I love a man in suit.
And
right.
He will remember. Okay, I know what she likes. So rather than smack him down about, you know, what he did wrong, tell him what he needs to do right.
Right.
And he will step up.
Right. It's valuable. Okay. Let's get into some emails real quick.
All right.
Okay. What were you gonna say?
No. I think that just goes back to for women needing to be more vocal.
About what they need.
Yeah.
What about your girlfriend? Does she ever? You feel like she's just chill? Do you ever tell her things like she's...
What? Did I ever tell her anything?
Like what you love about her and what you appreciate about her. He's had a girlfriend for like 18 years. I've never met her.
How's that possible?
Met her multiple times.
Oh, that's not...
He never tells me it's her, and then it's a long story. I don't want to get into this.
No, well, the first time... It just got weird because the day that...
It's the worst story.
No.
Okay, tell the story.
So I was going to have her meet her. So I had her at the radio station with me. And Emily walks in and goes to her and says, hey, can you go grab me a water? Thinking that she was an intern.
She was
at
your
the
intern.
Radio station.
Wasn't she?
She wasn't.
Okay. But that
and then I was like, that's kind of weird, but she's nice. So she went and got her water anyways. And then we just got into the show. So I was just like, all right, well,
okay,
forget
it. It was in San Francisco. We were at CBS Radio and we were having like... It's a Real Housewives of
that's
some
that's the honest God truth. That's exactly what happened.
It doesn't
and then
matter.
So it just got kind of weird
and
after that.
Like having a guest, and I would never, you know,
and
me,
she
I'm
didn't get upset
diva.
By that or anything.
No, but
I just
walking
felt
behind
awkward.
You. You weren't. She did work for you at the time. Let's just be honest. And we had candy from
the
Real
company,
Housewives
yeah.
there, and she wanted water. And I was like, do you think you can get us waters? Because I knew I thought she worked there, and it wasn't just for me. Like, get me a water, and then by the way, can you get me a whatever. And Menace tells me like a week that was my girlfriend. I'm like, dude, I didn't know. We needed water. We were thirsty. Okay, so let's get into emails.
Well, you're the one that brought it up, so I just told the story.
It's a bad story.
Does she want to meet Emily?
I don't think she really cares.
Yeah. She cares. I would care.
No, but she's met Emily before, and then we were
but
like...
formally. Like,
hey,
I don't think you guys have
Emily,
really met, like,
blah, blah.
All go out
me.
Go out.
I'm
for,
a girl's girl and a guy's girl. She'd love me.
Yeah, and you're,
that she
and
me.
You're a good influence on him.
I think
you
so.
Are.
I hope he's learned
you're
something.
You're shouldering the burden for her. She's
She should send me a thank you.
She
note.
Should, right, and you will give her some ball cream.
So much fun to be around.
Totally ball cream. I'll give her lube.
You would... Oh, my God. You'd be so lucky to be with somebody like me. But the only thing is, I couldn't put up with you because you just talk way too goddamn much.
I know.
And it's
Emily,
exhausting.
For you, is the equivalent of the gay friend for the female.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing to have.
It's just exhausting.
It is. It's true.
I gotta take her doses.
I know. That's why
well,
guys...
I love
like,
you to death.
I know, dude. I know we're in love. Guys guys who date me, yeah, they're cool with me talking. I don't always talk. Sometimes I'm quiet. Sometimes. In my sleep. Although, no, I do talk in my sleep.
Do you talk in your
yeah,
sleep?
Sometimes. I'm sure. It just keeps on going.
There's a lot going on up there, okay?
Like, how do you it's keep, tough to turn it off.
How do you keep Emily stimulated 24/7? I do not know.
Emily does
more.
A good job of that.
Yeah.
I
that helps. She takes it. She takes it 80% of the way. So you only have to really
exactly.
do 20% of the work.
Really, I'm the easiest person.
It's
to
easy
date
to date
ever.
Emily.
I don't have a lot of requirements.
She walks around fairly turned on. So you're doing. You know.
And do you I've think got, the guys are just like this really good at smiling and nodding the whole time, or what? Or do you like
when I'm
like
talking?
Listening? Yeah. When
no, they're engaged. Like they are entertained. Like you met the last guy. He was like, no, you said what? Because the guy I was dating, a guy who came in. I'd never had anyone on the show that I'd actually been with, slept with. And you're like, how do you put up with talking? And he's like, I like it. I'm entertained. And he wasn't like,
yeah,
just
but
saying
eventually he was burnt out, right?
No, that's not No, I think
he ghosted
like
you because he was just like,
me.
"God damn, I need a nap."
That's not how it happened.
She's entertaining. Who would want that?
Yeah, no,
she's hot and entertaining.
Yeah.
Look,
yeah.
How long have you known her? She
still
is.
Thinks I'm entertaining.
I know, but there will be fatigue, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, at friendship wise, effing awesome. Love you to death. But in a relationship wise, I just don't know like how you can be a guy couldn't be fatigued after a while. That's all.
Just
and that's just me. That's
easy.
My opinion. Who cares?
Yeah, it's your opinion. That's why we're not together.
Yeah, I know.
And I would find you exhausting as well because you'd be on your phone the whole time and not really paying attention to
and
me
the one,
at all.
And the one who doesn't find her exhausting, that's the one.
Yeah, you know?
She's not for everybody.
We're on the hunt for that guy, and one day it's going to happen.
We did not end because he found me exhausting. I will just tell you that. Okay, can we do one quick email?
Okay, yes, please.
Okay. Hi, I listen to your podcast every week. Last week you were talking about connecting in a relationship with sex and how important sex is. I'm a 52-year-old woman who's been divorced for 16 years and was in an abusive marriage. I've been very busy raising two kids alone, so I never really dated, and I guess I'm also scared to. My kids are now 25 and 21, so I have more time, more me time, but I feel it's too late to start dating. And yes, it's been at least 14 years since I've had sex. How do I even start
what?
In this different world? Thanks, M. I thought this would be a good one, too, for Brian to kind of, you know, jump in, because I understand that she would be
first
scared.
First of all, everybody's scared.
We're scared.
And, you know, a little bit, you get that a lot where it's a little bit different now. If somebody, you know, got divorced or out of a relationship in 1985, the dating landscape was sort of the same as 1974. The difference now in 2016, if you dropped out in 2002, it's a whole different world. That being said, what did she say? She is 52?
Yeah.
She's got about 40 years probably of dating left. So you don't have to jump back in. You don't have to do it. Start with spending time with people of the opposite sex. Classes, volunteering, meetup groups, things where you get comfortable just having dialogue with men, and you'd be surprised at how comfortable you can get quickly, not necessarily jumping into a one-on-one situation.
Right, exactly. It's like a muscle that you got to use, too. And also, she's coming out of abuse, too, so I want her to get that. Yeah.
Then she needs to get comfortable being around men and women again. So,
right.
And that the only way that's going to happen is to get out of the house. And that's where your answers lie, like sitting by the computer and trying to guess if some guy on Match.com is going to also be abusive. Don't do that. Get out. Spend time. I always say the best dating site is Earth. So go there and get out there and just start engaging with other people and get yourself comfortable
Earth.
With that.
Earth.com. Yeah. I heard that was a really, really good one.
We always say that. You got to change up your daily routine to meet new people.
Get out of your comfort zone.
And then also another thing, I hope she has talked to somebody about the abuse stuff because sometimes you fall into the exact same person that you dated before.
Right. We tend to often.
And you don't want to do that.
Sometimes
obviously.
One, sometimes 25 times until you.
And and you need to always be cognizant of it, but you can't also bring whatever the pain is from that forward into the next relationship because it's also not fair to that person.
Yeah.
So you really have to process that, you know,
that's
healthy
what I think.
Way.
Yeah. I think that people often don't, and then they think it's just going to go away, but it stays with you for a lifetime unless you deal with the
right.
Serious
I've dated girls like that where I felt like I'm dealing with something that happened long before me.
Right.
And they didn't know how to explain it, and I didn't know how to deal with it, and you end up, you know,
exactly.
fighting about it.
Right. Yeah. So you got to work all this stuff out, which I have now. That's why I'm ready to date. It just took me a while. Ready to be in a relationship.
Me
like
too.
We don't.
I'm ready to be married.
I know, right?
We're ready.
We're so good.
That's good.
Okay. Do we have time for another?
Yeah.
We do. Okay. Dating in the sex industry. Longtime listener via iTunes and have learned a lot from your podcast. I recently started a relationship with a girl that I really like and could see a future with. However, she's involved in the sex industry, which is a situation I've never had to deal with before. I understand that what she does for work is different from what she does with me, but sometimes I feel a little bothered by her job. Do you have any advice on how I can deal with my feelings? She's not leaving the industry anytime soon. Is there something I can do for myself to help me manage my feelings, or is there a way to discuss this with her without hurting or angering her? Thanks, Johnny. I'm assuming she's a porn star.
Well, I mean, the range here would be prostitute to you. You're the other end. Right.
Yeah.
So, and anything in between.
People do say I'm in the industry.
I was assuming she was a dancer, a stripper. That's
I thought that too, but then we talked about it in the office, and Madison was saying that usually people would say stripper, but... I think porn star, but I don't know. It doesn't matter either way.
Yeah. Or she can be a cam girl.
True. She could be so, there's
that's
so many
so hot right now.
I had a guest on our podcast the other day, Kate Quigley. She's a comedian. She's funny. She hosted the Adult Video Awards show, and she started dating a porn star. And people are like, oh, porn star. She's like, listen, the actors in Hollywood are probably having as much sex as the porn star. The only issue is I can't ask him about his day.
Right.
How was
exactly.
your how was work today?
How was work?
And she's like, that was the problem.
Yeah, double penetration, right? Or like double anal. Yep. It was a great one.
Did you do well?
Right. But I think, how do you deal with it? I mean, I think it's hard enough, you know, thinking about their ex's sexual history and past lovers. This to think about this is what she's doing all day can be really challenging. But he knows what he's getting into. And I just think it takes a confident, secure, strong man to deal with it. He's probably not going to get. He's not going to get her to leave her job.
So, yeah, no. You have to understand. You know, is the job being in the sex industry does not mean the job itself is sexual, and
right.
And you sort of have to figure out where that line is drawn and how that sort of manifests itself in your relationship or possible relationship.
Right, and they have to have great communication. I think he's got to keep talking, make sure he trusts her. You have to have like, you know, every relationship you need communication, but like solid trust. Keep working on it, talking about it. But I don't. My only advice is that you got to accept it because that's the profession that she's chosen, and you're not going to change people unless they want to change.
And again, you have to, on a much milder basis, you have to deal with it.
Right.
You have
oh,
to deal
I
with
do.
It
oh, all the time. And which is funny because it wasn't like when you get into porn, I think you think like this is going to be a thing. Like I didn't think this was going to be like my thing, and now it's like Sex with Emily, and it is. That's another thing. Not only have I not been married, all that other stuff, and then I've got a sex show.
Well, I even have to deal with it and, you know, doing the Great Love Debate. People, if I'm on a date, they're like, is this research? Are you asking me because you care? Like, are you going to put this in a book? Like,
do you?
I say both. Right. I go, I'm curious about you, and I'm also curious on a broader scale. I want
right.
to, you know, sometimes I like to know people's opinions on stuff.
Right, exactly.
And it's something I'm interested in. And if you're going to date me, you have to understand where my curiosities lie.
Right.
And a lot of my curiosities lie in the dynamic between men and women. That's the deal.
Right. I agree, too. People are like, are you, I think some people want me to talk in a weird way, but I change their names anyway. But I mean, it's a thing. If you can't handle it, you can't handle it. I think that's all we got time for.
It is.
Okay, so it is.
Yeah.
You said.
Unfortunately.
Okay, so we're going to be at the Great Love Debate, the Live Sex Live.
Love and Sex Live at the Improv March 10th.
March 10th at 7:30. Go to HollywoodImprov.com for tickets, or my website, secondwithemily.com, or your website.
Or GreatLoveDebate.com, yeah.
And also at Great Love Debate on Twitter.
On Twitter and Instagram.
Okay, and I'm at Sex with Emily on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. Instagram, what else? YouTube.
Listen and subscribe to the Great Love Debate podcast. We're also on Adam Carolla Network or Podcast One or iTunes or any place you're going to find your podcast.
So, yeah, we're all podcast. Let's all listen to each other's podcasts. You should listen to Menace.
That's right.
The Woody Show.
The Woody Show.
And you're at Menace.
At Menace on Twitter and Instagram.
Okay.
And the dog is a lot of people are following.
My dog, Churro.
From the show, yeah.
He's got like a famous.
Yeah.
I'm getting a dog, but we'll talk about this another time.
Oh, my God.
I know.
All right.
We're
that's a cliffhanger, everybody.
Okay, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to Sex with Emily. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Okay, hey, everyone. What was your New Year's resolution this year? Did you want to learn to cook, stay in shape, get in shape? And how's it going? It's March, okay? Let's talk about it. Well, texture can help you see it through. They can help you achieve so many goals. Because starting at less than $10 a month, Texture offers unlimited access to all your favorite magazines for less than the price of 3 magazines at the grocery store. You can catch up on, like, I love it because I can read all my women's health articles, Glamour, Time Magazine, no matter where I am. And it's so easy to use. You just click headlines on the cover page and Texture takes you right to the articles that interest you. And they literally, any magazine you can think of, you can get them all on your phone. And it's like 10 bucks a month. Like, that's crazy. Can you imagine that? You don't even need to schlep around magazines anymore like I used to do. Every time I go on vacation, I think I'm going to read these 50 magazines and then I have to check my suitcase because they get really mad because it's really heavy. This truly happened to me. Now you don't need to go totally paper-free and read about everything you want. And also Texture, they see what you like, what articles you like, and they also suggest things from magazines that you might not normally read. And it's just this amazing, it's like one of the only apps that I allow notifications on my phone because they actually are really smart and they know what I like. I love it. I love Texture. And they're offering my listeners a free trial right now when you go to texture.com/Emily. So stop wasting time flipping through pages, wasting paper, wasting your money, all that stuff. Go to texture.com/Emily. Try it for free. You will love it.